I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm getting better every day. Jesse's out of town. And I have a special guest, Father Charles Murr, who's going to be joining me momentarily. We're going to be talking about the liturgy, and we're going to be talking about Athanasius Schneider's points about 10 points of implementation, which he views as fundamental for the liturgical renewal. But I just want to remind everybody, Unplanned, the movie, is coming out today. I know some people have actually seen it before it actually had its debut. And I'm glad you did, because I plan to go see it. And I just want to encourage you to look it up on the internet, what city you're in, and it'll tell you what theater, because if we can get a good showing, then this movie will continue to get into more theaters. And I really think this is going to affect the unborn babies' lives in the future, because it's going to be a powerful movie from what I could tell. So I want to do this. Let me just see if I think I do. Father Murr, are you with us, with Terry?
I'm with you, Terry.
God bless you. I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire, even though I'm recovering from this mono, or not mono, what is it, pneumonia. And I'm my chest, air breaks, or I'm getting better with breathing, so thank you, Jesus. Father Murr, I wanted to read, because we always talk about soul food here at the Terry and Jesse Show with the Bible, so the readings for today's Mass, I wanted to ask if you could read those and also give us a little commentary on what your thoughts are and how we can implement those in our daily lives.
Yeah, you're going to have to read it.
I'll read it.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm,
no problem. It's from Mark. Here I go. Which, this is it, the Gospel of Mark. Here it says, one of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, the first is this. Excuse me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You are right in saying, he is the one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then Jesus saw that he had answered with understanding. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, tell us, what's the cash value? What's our Lord saying?
Beautifully put. Mm-hmm. Christ is being a very succinct, putting it in simple terms and clear terms.
Yeah.
And what he's saying to this young man is the following.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments. We all know what the Ten Commandments are. Did you ever remember in art seeing Moses coming down from the mountain?
Absolutely.
With the two tablets?
Of course.
They would have oftentimes in art, they would have just the Roman numerals.
Yes.
1, 2, 3
right.
On one tablet.
Yes.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on the other tablet.
Sure.
All right. The division is from... it's not from 1 to 5 and then 5 to 10, not half and half.
That's right.
It's the first three deal with God.
That's right.
What's owed to God.
Yep.
The rest after that, what is owed to our fellow man.
Exactly.
Right? But I think it's very important. It is important to understand that God comes first. And this is exactly what Moses is telling the Israelites, the people of Israel. What you owe to God is very important. And after you pay what's owed to God, after you've got God in his right place in your lives, the others, 5 or 4 to 10, flow rather naturally. But the first are the most important. And Christ begins this gospel telling the young man, the first commandment is this. And what he's doing is summing up those three commandments in one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he says, and the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. He's summing up the whole thing beautifully.
Perfect. Yeah.
Beautifully. But I would like to kind of underscore something that's subtly in there. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, this presupposes that you've got a proper love of yourself.
Right.
All right? And that love of yourself isn't a narcissistic, selfish love. That's not what Christ is talking about at all. Exactly. He's not saying be a narcissist.
Right.
Get it figured out and be a narcissist and you'll get along in every society. That's not it. What he's saying is have a proper respect for yourself.
Amen.
Know who you are and have a respect for it. Now, how are you going to know who you are? You're only going to know who you are by knowing who God is.
Yep.
Once you understand who God is, you understand your place in this whole, in the whole scheme of creation. Without God, you don't know who you are. And you've got a false impression of yourself. That's why oftentimes we say, so-and-so thinks he's God.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Right? Or he acts like he's all-powerful, all-knowing.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, he hasn't figured it out yet. Too bad.
You know, anyway, Father, can I interrupt?
Because it's a proper understanding of self and a proper respect and love for yourself.
You know, right? Father, your comments are making me think about the world that we live in. You said, you know, he's not God. But we live in a world that says, kind of like we are God. We say, hey, I have my truth and you have your truth. And that is such a ridiculous statement to make because we're supposed to be following God's truth. His commandments are there for us. They're not suggestions. And so when your comment about we're not God, it seems that in the element of the sacredness of life, the unborn, the longborn, it seems like our culture is just so opposed to doing it God's way, and we want to do it our way. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and do you notice what they do? When I hear this an awful lot from young people who don't mean any harm in what they're saying,
but it
shows where they're at. They'll say, it's my truth and your truth.
Ouch.
That's your truth. I said, no, just a moment. Let's talk. You can talk that way about opinions.
Yes.
This is my opinion and your opinion.
Right.
There's only one truth. A thing is either true or it's not true. Res vel est vel non est. A thing either is or it isn't.
Amen.
It's real simple. But there's not your truth and my truth and his truth. This is ridiculous. Yeah. You have opinions, but there's one truth. And we've taken away the one truth because the one truth is God.
Right.
Ultimately, that's the truth. God is the truth. The rest of us hold small and very minute and unimportant, when you come right down to it, opinions. Right, so that's it. I mean, we're not. We've got a lot of people not taking into account God.
Well, you know, Father, this fits really into what Fulton Sheen is saying. We have a section, as you know, every day. Here comes full Sheen ahead, man. Here comes Bishop Sheen, and this is tying into what you've been saying in the gospel, and also tying into the liturgy that we're going to be talking about. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. It is a characteristic of any decaying civilization that the great masses of people are unaware of the tragedy. Humanity in a crisis is generally insensitive to the gravity of the times in which it lives. Check this out. He says, men do not want to believe their own times are wicked. Right now. Partly because they have no standard outside of themselves, you know, the commandments, by which to measure their times. If there is no fixed concept of justice, how shall man know it is violated? Bishop Sheen says, only those who live by faith really know what is happening in the world. The great masses without faith are unconscious of the destructive processes going on, because they have lost the vision of the heights for which they have fallen. Kind of reminds me of the Titanic when it was going down. Everybody kept dancing. Father, yeah. What are your thoughts on Archbishop's comments for the day?
Well, for some reason, I can't exactly remember when. Like my grandmother used to say, she said, I've got a great memory.
Yeah, you're
just
funny.
Just awfully short.
I love it.
Anyway.
I love it.
Yeah, but when you were talking, I was remembering people without God, society without God.
Yeah.
I studied psychology under Paul Vitz at
great
New York
man,
University.
Great man.
And I remember Dr. Vitz got up one day and he said, narcissism. Let's talk about narcissism, right? He said, everyone is discovering narcissism, right? Yeah. And it's the new selfish, right? Mm-hmm. He said, we're in New York City. New York City has got to be the capital of narcissism.
Yes.
If there's a place in the world that is, it's New York City. Mm-hmm. He said, I've been a practicing psychologist for, I don't know what he said at that time, 40 years or what have you. He said, to this day, no one has ever come up to me in New York and said, my problem is narcissism.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Says it all.
It's a disorder.
Sure.
It's a disorder. And at the same time, nobody admits to it because we take it not as a disorder. We take it as a virtue.
Right.
If you're not going to make it in this life, if you're not full of yourself, if you don't believe in yourself, remember what G.K. Chesterton said about the man who believes in himself?
Yeah.
Remember that? Anyway.
He's a man. Hey, we got music coming on. We're going to be right back with Father Murr. We're going to shift gears to talk about the liturgy. Bishop Snyder offers 10 points of implementation that's going to be viewed as a fundamental for the liturgical renewal of the church. You won't want to miss it because the way you worship is the way you believe. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town. I have my good friend Father Murr, Charles Murr, on the line. But I mentioned some good news I love good news. This just came across my desk. The Utah governor signs bill banning abortion at 18 weeks. More states are making that happen. And I could just see the day when Roe versus Wade is rescinded and we start having the states decide on the abortion issue. We can start making progress. I mentioned at the beginning of the show about Unplanned, what she saw changed everything with Abby Johnson. And I asked if someone had seen the movie to call in. And I've got Suzanne in Texas. Actually, she actually saw the movie. So, Suzanne, welcome to the Terry and Jesse show.
Hi, Terry. And hi, Father Murr.
Yep.
Hi, Suzanne.
You're a wonderful teacher.
Yes, he is. He certainly is, Suzanne.
Yeah. No. You're confusing me with Terry.
Oh, got it out. Hey, you know, Suzanne, one of these days you'll have to meet Father Murr because he is a great man. He comes down periodically to our chapel. And he is full of good information. And later in the show, we're going to talk about the liturgy. I think you're going to love it. But Suzanne, you went and saw Unplanned, did you not? Or is that yesterday? Or
yes.
What? Yeah. Tell us about it, because all of our listeners, I've encouraged everyone to go see it this weekend. Tell us a little bit how it affected you.
Oh, my goodness. It was just so powerful. And what was really interesting was my husband and I were part of a group of people that sponsored a theater last
good.
Night. So we had a 100 great. Seats. And they were all full because we divided and conquered. We had 10 volunteers who had 10 tickets each, and we distributed those among friends and people we go to church with,
good.
Family. So we guaranteed that the theater would be full, and everybody was so moved by Abby Johnson's story. Now, I live in Texas, and she was in College Station, Texas, when this all took place. That's
yes.
where Texas A&M is.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was really like, oh, my gosh, this is like a home movie because
right.
it was very right. Texas-like. It's very, very casual in the beginning. But as the story unfolds, it's just got it's like a peeling, you know, like I know people say peeling an onion, but it really is layers and layers. And my husband was sitting next to me, and on the other side of him
yes.
was a very good friend of his who used to be pro-choice.
Oh, boy.
And always defended a woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
But in recent years, he's kind of come around. And so we invited him to come with us, and he was very moved by the film.
Good.
And the film is very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters are believable. They're really authentic. In fact, the diocese where I live, the bishop used to be the campus pastor at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And the young couple that plays Sean Carney and his wife, you know, Sean Carney from 40 Days for Life.
Right.
The couple that
right.
portrayed
right.
him in the film were two of his college students when he was the campus priest
oh
at Texas A&M
huh.
at St. Mary's
great.
Church. So,
great.
and Ashley Braster did a very convincing job. The woman who played the part of the Planned Parenthood director who went on to be the regional director, she was very believable. Cold, stone cold heart, just yeah, and then the lawyer that represented Abby.
Yes.
Because Abby's like David going up Goliath against Planned Parenthood because there was a lawsuit after she left Planned
wow.
Parenthood.
Wow.
And so all of that everybody needs to see it. Yes, it is graphic. It has a few graphic scenes.
Yes.
But they're true, and they go to the message of the film, which is abortion kills.
Yeah.
Babies. It kills human beings. It kills life. And when you see that little tiny infant on the ultrasound
yes.
that is trying to protect its own life, you'll never be the same.
Wow.
It's like the advertisements that they've used all these months,
mm-hmm.
what she saw,
changes
and she'd
everything.
Been there for 8 years and had never seen an abortion performed.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty amazing.
It's outstanding. Yes, and I mean
that they would hide the facts from their own staff.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They were
afraid that their own staff might get discouraged if they saw the truth, right?
That's exactly right. And because the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Right?
That's what the Bible says.
Got it.
Thank you all for being on today, and thank you for letting me share that.
God bless you.
Thank you for encouraging others
to go see that movie. Yeah, the theme is okay. What she saw changed everything. And I think that's the what we're asking everybody to go see that movie, and I think it will change hearts. Father Murr, I'm going to shift gears now. You know, we've been talking about Bishop Athanasius Snyder. And we've been encouraging people to go to his website now. He's got a YouTube channel called Gloria Day. And he came out with an article about the 10 points of implementation, which he viewed as fundamental for the liturgical renewal. But before we get to his 10 points, Father Murr, you're just maybe 4 or 5 years older than I am. And I just want to let our listeners know what it was like growing up. You know, you grew up in on the East. Was it the Midwest? Is that where you grew up, Father?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
You get much more Midwest than that.
Yeah, so Midwest. And so when you were a youngster, like, you know, I just wanted to set the stage because I think your experience of growing up when people were taught the faith at an early age, it's probably the reason why your faith was passed on through your older years because you were formed as a youngster. Can you just kind of give a situation like how it was when you were growing up and maybe the nuns were probably teaching you, maybe the second grade or something where they taught you about the Eucharist or the Mass? Because I think that generation knows more, we're taught more about the Mass than high school and college students today. But I want to hear from you. How was it back then?
Oh, boy. Where to begin?
Yeah.
I guess, first of all, I happen to think that it was wonderful.
Good.
And all of my memories,
yes,
of those years and of those times are wonderful memories.
Yeah.
You know, because when they say it was a simpler time,
yeah,
yes, in the sense, not that there weren't complex and complicated people and situations,
sure,
right,
yeah,
that I might not have been aware of. They were always there, just like they are today. However, they were simpler times in the sense that you knew where everyone and everything was. You knew what was right. You knew what
order
was wrong.
Yeah.
You just knew that it was established. Yeah. We also had, I was in seventh or eighth grade.
Yeah.
When I discovered that one of my classmates came from a divorced home.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm serious. I felt so bad for him. I really did. I remember it quite well. And he felt bad about it. But this was one out of, I don't know how many kids we were in that school, 500 or something.
Yeah.
We never heard of anybody being divorced.
Wow.
I don't know. It was a different time, a different world.
Well, tell me a little bit about your early education on the Mass and on the Eucharist as the real presence, because
we had fantastic teachers. First of all, I had a mother and father who were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That, we'll start right there.
Yeah.
Home was good. My parents at that time, I was born in 1950. All right. So okay, I'm talking about 1957, 58 for First Communion preparation.
Wow.
My parents were almost the first American generation of educated Catholics. Hmm. My parents knew their faith.
Wow.
They read. It was discussions at table and everything as we were growing up were always fascinating. But anyway, I'm in first or second grade preparing for First Holy Communion.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough. I wrote this in the Godmother in the book.
Yes.
I had the same nun, the same teacher for first and for second grade.
Good.
Her name was Sister Wilberta. She was a Dominican sister. She still is a Dominican sister, by the way.
Good.
I just spoke to her last month.
Great.
God love her. But anyway, she taught us what we needed to know. The catechism, what we learned it by memory. And it didn't matter. This is what I've told people ever since. It doesn't matter that we didn't understand 100% of what we were memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
One day the day would come when we would.
Oh yeah.
When we'd understand it, right?
Sure.
And then you've got everything. You know, I'll give you an instance of this memorizing and not understanding.
Yeah.
We were taught. This is in fourth grade at that time. That was another sister, Rosalima, that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
That never made any sense to me at all. I had no idea what they were talking about. I memorized it.
Yes.
And if it was a question on a test, I passed it.
I bet.
But I had no idea what it was until one day I was watching a cowboy movie with Roy Rogers, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
And one of the good guy was behind a rock. right? Mm-hmm. And they're having a shootout.
Good.
They're having a shootout.
Yeah.
And a bullet comes and hits the rock right next to his head almost.
Right.
He puts his pistol up at exactly the same angle that he can see the bullet hit and pulled the trigger, and a bad guy fell out of a tree. Right?
He turned
and he said to his companion, he said, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
That's a great story. I love it.
All of a sudden.
It made sense.
Of course.
Yeah. That's
a great sense. So what I'm trying to say is this. All of the things that we memorize,
yes,
because we had fantastic ability to memorize at that age.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, we understood.
Got it.
Later on, we understood. When I was studying theology at the Gregorian,
yes,
honestly, I'm not exaggerating.
This is in Rome.
We had some examinations, mm-hmm, that I'm drawing memory from first and second grade.
I love it.
Right? The seven sacraments. What is actual grace? What is sanctifying grace?
I love it.
We memorized all of this to make our first Holy Communion.
Sure.
There's also something else that was very important.
Tell us.
The catechism that we had was the Baltimore Catechism.
Me too. Yeah.
But it was a particular edition that I was looking for the other day on the computer just to see if it still exists. It was called Jesus and I. Mm. That was the name of the catechism.
Okay.
But it was the Baltimore Catechism,
yeah,
just under that title.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of Jesus and I, we had a relationship with our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We had a relationship with Christ. I don't know what people are getting so excited about. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. No kidding, of course.
Yeah, you think?
We always did.
Of course.
We always did. I mean, we just always did. We asked him to bless our food.
Yep.
We thanked him in prayer. Christ was a part of our family.
Awesome.
Just really was.
Awesome.
And all of this is what we had, and it was wonderful. The catechism, however, is something essential. You know, I find myself by accident doing some prison work.
Good.
Here in California.
Good.
And I'm talking to these guys,
yes,
and these are good men.
Sure.
You know why they're good?
Mm-hmm.
You know why they're good?
Tell me.
Because first of all, they've had a real rude awakening,
mm-hmm,
right?
And yeah.
All right. Secondly, no drugs, no alcohol.
Right.
All of a sudden, we've got logic back in our lives.
Yep.
Reasoning. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You bet. When
one of the things that they're lacking is catechism.
Absolutely. And I want to hear when we come back a little bit about the real presence and what you thought about the Mass, even as a second grader, because I'm going to make a prediction and we're going to be shocked to hear that you had a fundamental understanding of the Mass in the second grade. We'll be right back with Father Murr.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, catholicrc.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town. He'll be back on Monday, but my good friend, Father Charles Murr, a retired Catholic priest, is with us, and we're talking a little bit about how he grew up in the late 1950s and his formation that he got from the Baltimore Catechism. And by the way, everybody, that's what I taught all my four kids with, the Baltimore Catechism, and I would encourage you, that is still a good source for the kids today. Father Murr, I had asked you about second grade, I think that's when you were receiving your first Holy Communion. With your catechetics from the Good Sister, what was your understanding of, did you have an understanding of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and did you have an understanding of what the Mass is?
Well, did we have an understanding of the real presence? You bet your life.
Good.
Absolutely.
So you didn't think
absolutely.
As a matter of fact,
even, you know, I mean, as soon as we got into Catholic school, our parish was St. Augustine in South St. Paul, where they've got a fantastic priest right now, also, who gives great sermons. I listen to them once a week. It was a marvelous place, a marvelous school. But since first grade and second grade, we were preparing for First Holy Communion, this union with Christ, the union with, and we understood that it was Jesus himself that we were about to receive in the Eucharist. There was a symbol?
Not even
a sign?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? None of that. We understood that later on. I understood later on when we got into theology.
Yes.
Sign and symbol in different Protestant interpretations and that and the other thing, and even Catholic. Sure. However, at that time, I just knew I was going to receive our Lord. That was it. The devotion, the training that went in even to attend the Mass. I remember we practiced for weeks. Every other day we'd go into the church, practicing to make a genuflection, practicing to enter pew, practicing to approach the communion rail, how to kneel, how to make the sign of the cross after we received, how to receive on the tongue. Every point was done, and it was done meticulously and given importance, a sublime importance. I mean, these things were really, they were important to us, to do everything correctly. Why? Because you're receiving the King of the universe.
Exactly.
You know, this isn't Flootsy Dooley.
No, you're not going to McDonald's.
This is the King of the universe.
Got it.
Who's making himself available to you in this way. This is how he's entering your life. His body is going to become your body, part of your body. His blood is going to become your part of your blood.
Yes.
This is amazing. And this we were ready for this. We all knew that's what we were doing.
Yes.
It was wonderful.
Father,
it was wonderful.
I'm going to mention a thing I've been doing for 40 years. I go around and give talks, but I always ask parishioners what they understand about the Eucharist and about the Mass. And about 80 to 90% of the people I talk to have no clue about the real presence of Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to make a connection. Now, I'm not in management. I'm in sales, okay? But here at the Anglican Ordinate, where we have Mass at our chapel, we don't receive Holy Communion standing, and we don't receive Holy Communion in the hand. That it is a very reverent Mass, and we receive properly. And I'm not saying that people can't, because the church allows it. But I just think logistically, from my own experience, and maybe you can correct me, but my experience says that when we receive on the tongue and kneeling, it says that this is something special. And I would really encourage our church, I mean, I'm just saying, that to consider going back.
Who do you receive? Who do you say hello to kneeling down?
Jesus. Exactly. Who? Jesus.
No one.
No one other than Jesus.
Right. God alone.
Yep.
God alone. You know, God alone.
And
I love
who
that.
Else do you?
Let me just throw a little bit. You know those funny caps that bishops and cardinals wear?
Yeah, the beanies?
Wears?
Yeah.
The skull cap?
Yeah.
In Spanish, it's called a solideo.
Oh.
Solideo, which means only for God.
Ah.
And that, it means it only comes off for God at the name of Jesus.
That
That's
makes
when
sense.
It's removed, right? In Italian, it's even funnier. It's funnier because it's called a zucchetto.
Oh, yeah.
And a zucchetto, is the end, you know, zucchini?
Yeah.
the end of a zucchini.
Oh, my gosh.
with the little stem.
I know exactly. I grow them.
Anyway, but who do you kneel down for? You
it makes
kneel
it
down
special.
For God.
Yeah.
You kneel down for God. Mother Pasqualina, Pius the 12th.
Tell us a little bit about her because people don't know her.
She made this comment that Pope Pius had told her. She said, The only creature, he said, remember kneeling was important, a position of prayer. And he said, the devil can't kneel because the devil comes in the form of a snake. Snake can't kneel.
Yep.
He said, snakes can't kneel. We can. And she held that always because every time I would leave to say goodbye, she would kneel down and ask for my blessing.
Yeah.
And I kept, you know, the poor woman is in her 80s, and I would help her get up. And I said, there's no need to kneel. And she said, only snakes don't kneel for things.
What a line. I'll never forget that.
That's it.
Wow.
Anyway, remember this, that communion in the hand.
Yes.
And standing.
Was
in the sort of a fast food.
Yeah.
Idea,
approach. Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm. First of all. That was insisted upon, if I'm not mistaken, by Luther and the Reformers.
You're absolutely right. I've done the study.
And why did they insist on it?
To downgrade,
get rid of the superstition.
Exactly. And we picked it up.
This Catholic superstition. Yeah. You see,
you're right.
This works because how you practice things makes what makes believable what you're doing. You've also got something else that I never liked.
Tell me.
I saw that practice come in
with a disobedience
practice through absolute disobedience.
That's right. I remember
absolute
that.
Absolute disobedience. It was against the, as a matter of fact, the craziest thing was that it was still on the books as a sacrilege to touch the Blessed Sacrament.
Yep.
While in most parishes they were practicing it.
Yes.
It was still on the books against the law. Yep. Anyway, the point was how you treat things.
Yes.
How you treat things matters very much, very much. It underscores, my goodness, when we received First Communion and all through grade school, because a paten was held under your chin just in case a fragment,
that's right,
or God forbid, the whole host would fall. This is incredible.
Yeah, Father,
just incredible.
We still do that here at the Anglican Ordinate. It's a Catholic Mass, but they have it here at our chapel, and we still have the altar boys with the paten, and it's awesome. But I want to make a connection, Father. When you were growing up, about 80% of Catholics were going to Mass every Sunday, and it seems to be reversed now. About 20% Catholics go to Mass, 80% don't go. And I'm going to say this, and this is just my experience as a layman, not a priest. But I would say that as we had the de-Eucharization going on that Bishop Sheen talked about, it affected the practice of Catholics because they didn't know why they were going to Mass. They didn't have any understanding of the Eucharist, so why go? Now, am I off on that?
No, I think a lot of things were given. They were just given. You did it because you did it. Yeah. And I remember hearing so many times, well, that's the way we do it.
Yeah.
That's the way we do it, or that's our tradition.
Yeah.
But nobody knew what that was. You just did it because it was a natural thing in religion to do. That's too bad that more explanation wasn't given.
Yes.
But for us who went through Catholic school, the explanation was given. It was there. All we had to do was open our ears.
Sure.
It was there. The sisters and the brothers, I had the Christian brothers also in high school. These were great men and women dedicated to imparting the faith, to explaining it, to watching students grow in it and being happy with the results.
Now, Father Murr, Bishop Fulton Sheen was coming out with cassette tapes in the mid-70s, and I heard some tapes on the liturgy, on the Mass, and it was just so affirming. Did that, now you were ordained in, I think, 77, so you actually heard these cassettes also in the mid-70s? Is that a fair statement?
Terry, I think it was in the year, in Holy Year, 1975. It was in Rome.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I got a whole set of tapes by Fulton Sheen, mm-hmm. but I thank God that I did.
Yeah.
And I used to go to the chapel mm-hmm. when nobody else was there, because in those days we didn't have all of the what did they call them, earbuds and what have you.
Yeah, all right? Earbuds.
So, but I would put on a recorder and listen to his talks in front of the Blessed
Sacrament. Oh, I love it.
They were absolutely fantastic. I found those talks that I think it was
Heart to Heart. Before. Yep, Heart to Heart. All right, I got the same one.
Before.
Yep.
And I really can tell you that those talks by Sheen changed my life.
That's awesome.
They were life changing.
Awesome.
I saw the seriousness of things, and I saw where we were going. You know, there's something too that I was very impacted by, mm-hmm. and that was the apostles. And that's in chapter 6 of Saint John's Gospel, right?
Uh-huh.
Where he's explaining the bread of life. I
yes.
am the bread of life.
Sure.
I'm down from heaven. Not like the bread that your fathers ate in the desert. They died.
Yes.
No, no, no. Who eats this will live forever. That whole chapter 6 of John is fantastic.
Awesome. I got it memorized.
You know what's magnificent?
Tell me.
Magnificent at the end of all that, and they're all listening. Can you imagine the apostles listening to this?
Yeah.
Can you imagine them listening to this?
Sure.
And what they're hearing, Terry,
yeah.
is that this man, who they know is a very, very special man, very, very special, he hasn't told them a lie, ever. He's performed miracles. It's fantastic. The yep. whole thing is fantastic. And then he turns and he says to them, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you cannot have life in me, and I have no life in you. You know, we know where this is going.
You got it.
Right? Mm-hmm. They had no idea. Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine
yeah.
the shock? They understood Christ to be saying, you have to literally chew on my arm.
Yep.
That's what, eat my body, drink my blood.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Yep. Father, we're going to have to take a quick break, but I just want to remind people in that same gospel when they left him, many people left him, and he turned to the apostles, said, are you going to leave me? And he says, no, you have the words of eternal life. That's why we're here in the Catholic Church today. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the liturgy. I want to remind you to get to adoramus.org, a great website on the liturgy. I'm a board member on that, so I had to give a plug. We'll be right back with Father Charles Murr.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, catholicrc.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. Father Charles Murr, retired priest, is with me. And we were talking about John 6, you know, the discourse on the Eucharist. So please continue, Father. We got interrupted.
Where were we?
You're talking about unless you eat of my body and drink of my, go ahead.
This to his 12.
Yes.
The 12 apostles.
Yes.
And he's telling them now openly, you have to eat my body and drink my blood.
Right.
And again, just remember, we know the conclusion of this. We know what he's talking about. He's talking about the Eucharist.
Sure.
They had no idea of this. All right.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the majority of those who were following him, those who wanted to see another miracle.
Yes.
Show us more.
Yeah.
Give us another wonder.
Yeah, entertain us.
Isn't this great? Right? Show us more. All of a sudden, this man is talking about eating his body and drinking his blood, and they are sickened by the turn of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn on him and walk away. There was a translation I heard years ago. It said, "Who can?" We've got it translated. That group that left him said, "Who can hear such things?"
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard it translated from the Greek, and don't ask me to get into to all of that, but I won't. It was, "Who can stomach?"
Yeah. Who could stomach my wife? Yep.
These words.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who can stomach this?
Yeah.
Who can listen to that without wanting to vomit?
Yes.
What is he talking about? This is outrageous. Yeah. And they left him. And you can see our Lord watching them walk away in the distance.
Let him go.
And a silence that had to have come over the apostles.
Yep.
They're just like a stunned, what is going on here? And our Lord turns to them and says to the 12, "Do you want to catch up with them? You can still catch up with them."
Yep.
There they are. They're leaving. You want to leave too? You can catch up with them.
What's the response?
Peter.
Yeah, I love this response.
Peter says in the name of Peter speaks for them. He says, "Lord, where shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have come to believe that you are the Son of God."
Amen.
Now wait a minute. What Peter is really saying is this. "Lord, we don't know what in the world you're talking about."
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But if you say that such is so and that that's necessary,
mm-hmm. Amen.
We're sticking with you.
Yep.
Because we've come to believe that you are the Son of God.
Right.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Right?
Powerful.
In the Eucharist, there are times that you stop and try to figure out and try to really understand the Eucharist. You can't understand it, and you have to come to the same conclusion as Peter. "Lord, I don't know what you're talking about, but this is fantastic. And if you say so, I know that it is, because you haven't told me a lie yet."
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's it. Now,
beautiful.
That's really it. And then we come to that in the Eucharist always.
Father, let me interrupt you again, because you chatted with me one time. You were doing a parish mission where you gave like eight masses preaching. You're at the masses, but you're not saying the mass. So you're listening to the consecration. You're listening to the words, and something really touched you.
That was at the cathedral in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was there for, I preached all of the masses one
Good.
Sunday,
yeah.
You know, Saturday night and Sunday.
Sure.
And this is a curious thing, because I say Mass every day. Mm-hmm. I say the Tridentine Mass.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extraordinary form. I found great solace in that. And I thank Pope Benedict for finally okaying what I always knew was okay.
Yeah.
But we need that approval. All right, good. But I'm at these masses, and this is the first time in my life I say mass every day. I've only missed mass in all my 42 years as a priest. I don't know, a handful of times, not because I was traveling. Yeah. However, I don't hear mass. I mean, no. I offer the mass.
Of course.
I'm not at somebody else's mass, unless it's a pontifical mass with the Pope or whatever. But so I'm at all of these masses because I'm listening to the gospel, and then I go out to preach, and then I stayed in the sanctuary for the rest of the mass, also to participate in the mass and to help with Holy Communion. Sure. I'm a priest. That's my obligation.
Sure.
Right? Well, this is like the first time I'm hearing something in the words of consecration, words that I pronounce every single day.
Okay.
I had not heard this.
Yes.
The priest is saying, oh, and by the way, this was a singular grace because I remember specifically the day was Corpus Christi.
Oh, what an
was the feast of
day.
The body and blood of the solemnity of the body and blood of
Love
Christ.
It.
So here's the priest at the consecration saying this, take and eat. For this is my body. This is my body, which will be given up for you. It was the first time that I had heard the change in the time or the tense of the verb.
Mm-hmm.
This is present tense.
Right.
What will be future tense.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just remember saying, holy Toledo, wow. Mm-hmm. What is this? This is right now what will be shed for you. When? Tomorrow, Good Friday. This, on Holy Thursday, this right now at the Last Supper is what tomorrow is going to be on the cross.
Yeah.
Paying your debt for sin.
Powerful.
This is it right now. And you know what? The words of Fulton J. Sheen.
Yes.
That you're talking about it, and we didn't plan this, you and I.
No.
But the words of Fulton J. Sheen came back to me. He said, every time we say Mass, we are planting the cross of Christ in the now.
Yep.
We're reaching back and pulling from Calvary and making it present now.
Yep.
Well, the first Eucharist, Christ did the same thing, but in the future.
Yes.
He went to the future and pulled the future into the present.
Powerful.
At every Mass, what we do is go to the past and pull the past into the present and make it real. This is it's a beautiful. It's the absolute maximum of the Catholic life, of religion, of theology, of everything is the Eucharist. It's the center of our lives. Poor people who don't have it as the center of their lives.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I guess they get along well, but I don't know how.
No. Father, I'm going to encourage people to get Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living because he has several talks on the Mass, and he brings that up. It's going to be planted in New York, Los Angeles, and it should give you a great love for the Mass. So if you want to get MP3.
It should also do something else. Can I just put
Father.
A little parenthesis
sure.
there, Terry?
Do it.
There's something else, too. Sheen, in the Life is Worth Living series that we all used to listen to on Sunday night, right? He many times gets into Freudian psychology and tries to explain Freud, and he does a superb job. And he's very critical of Freud.
Yep.
Very critical.
Yep.
And I remember people being critical of him.
Is that
because
right?
he was critical of Freud. Well, today, when I was at NYU in studying psychology, I actually talked to the last Freudian professor.
Did
at NYU. He was going to retire. No one else took Freud seriously. It was amazing. Anyway, Sheen, his talks that were given in the 40s and 50s and 60s are even better today. They're like wine. They're like old wine. They're fantastic.
And you know, Father, I've been promoting these Life is Worth Living since 1979. Millions of these have gone out. And if you don't have it on MP3, give us a call at 877-526-2151. You not only get Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living, it's a $20 donation, but are you ready for this? I put the Baltimore Catechism, including with Bishop Sheen using sacred art to communicate a 58-minute presentation using the Baltimore Catechism as our source to teach your family. This is a pack. And I go all over the country promoting it because fundamentals are so important to the faith. If you want to get a copy, just call the 877-526-2151 because I think it's a great thing to show your kids the video because it's the Baltimore Catechism using the sacred art of the church. And then you've got 50 half-hour shows by Fulton Sheen teaching you the fundamentals. It's his convert course. And Father, I mentioned Bishop Sheen so much because I really believe now they're working on getting his body brought back to Peoria, Illinois, so they can continue the canonization. But wouldn't you agree that having Bishop Sheen as a saint in the Catholic Church would just really renew many people in the church today?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I mean, how could it do any harm? Are you kidding? Yeah. First of all, the man is in heaven. Of that, there is no doubt. I have no doubt at all. He was a saint. He was fantastic. Do you know that there was an estimate of over 500,000 people all over the world claimed that it was Fulton Sheen, his talks, that got them into the Catholic Church.
Yep.
These were non-Catholics who converted during the 1950s and before the council.
Sure.
Over 500,000 people claimed.
Yep. Well, it's still going on today. I've talked to hundreds of people personally that have come into the Catholic Church because of Life is Worth Living. These were recorded in 1965 on record albums. The Propagation of the Faith said to me when I wrote to them, young man, go ahead and do what you want with them because, you know, we're not going to do anything with these records. So I put them onto cassette, onto CDs. Now they're on MP3. This right now is so fundamental to our church right now because there's such a lack of catechesis in the church today. So I just want to encourage our listeners to take advantage of getting that set, you know, by Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living by calling the 877-526-2151. Father, as you were talking about your childhood and being catechized, it appears to me again that we need to go back to basics today in 2019. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Undoubtedly. And we also have to do something else.
Tell us.
We have to stop insulting children.
Yeah.
Thinking that they cannot memorize.
Amen. Amen.
You know, of course they can memorize, for God's sake. It's wonderful, the gift that God gave them of memorization.
Absolutely.
For language, for everything, and certainly for catechism.
You got it. Father Charles Murr, I want to thank you again for taking the time to joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show. I want to have you back soon because I love chatting with you.
It is always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure being with you.
All right. Can we get a priestly blessing, Father?
You certainly may. Blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, descend upon you all and remain forever.
Amen. Father, I was
Thanks,
in this
Terry.
Way. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yep, my pleasure. God bless you. What state should you be living in, folks? The state of grace. What state shouldn't you be living in? The state of mortal sin. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at the confessional. I hope you are too. It's Lent. Don't forget kindness, the hidden power of kindness. What did I say? And for Lent, one act of kindness a day keeps the doctor away. All right. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and may God bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.